inshallah, Eid will most probably be on Saturday. So if Eid is on Saturday, then tomorrow night there won't be no majlis. Nevertheless, this majlis that I'm going to present in front of you is from my ustaz and sheikh, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Aslam Sahab. Damat barakatum, who I've benefited tremendously from him, studied many kitabs under him also, as well as far as tasawwuf is concerned, alhamdulillah, benefited from him. Allah Ta'ala keep his sayah over us for a long time. Mm-hmm. He has his majlis in village in India every Ramadan in the last Ashara in a place called Bardoli. So from last night's majlis, some of the things that he said, inshallah, I'll present it, Allah Ta'ala make it mufid for all of us. He was mentioning that our Shaykh is also has ijazat from Hazrat Maulana Qamru Zaman Sahib, Damat Barakatum as well. So he's quoting Hazrat Shaykh because Hazrat recently has been over and over seeing the same Shaykh all the time. Khajisam Shaykh, kamyabi kaam se hoti hai, na ki husne kalam se. Success is by doing work, not only beautiful talk. Beautiful talk, everybody can talk. We all can talk. Everybody can talk. Isse kuch nahi hota hai. Talk doesn't do nothing. Kamyabi kaam se, must do the work. So what has been stipulated to do, must get the job done. Must fix this up, fix that up. Get our line, our life, according to the regulation of Quran and Sunnah. That is the actual essence. So, Hazrat keeps on saying this poem, Kamyabi kaam se hoti hai, na ke husne kalam se hoti hai. Zikr ke iltizam se hoti hai. Zikr ke iltizam se, fikr ke ihtimam se hoti hai. Zikr ke iltizam. Must make zikr of Allah Ta'ala. All the time make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And make fikr and tadabbur. And also ponder. Must ponder. Why Allah created me? Why I came in this world? What is my objective of coming here? What I need to do to be successful? Am I getting it right? Am I not getting it right? We have to ponder. Tafakkur and tadabbur is a very important aspect in the life of a mu'min. So Hazrat keeps on saying the same poem. Sometimes in one majlis, 5-7 times you say that poem. Because why? He wants it to sit in our heart. Kamyabi kaam se hoti hai, na ke husne kalam se. Zikr ke iltizam se hoti hai, fikr ke ehtimam se hoti hai. Zikr is required and fikr is required. And these two things here, if you see this poem that's broken down, so he started with the tashri of this poem, and he said, when we make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, then that will lead to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Zikr leads to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Zikr leads to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. The more we make zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the more we will get strength in our heart, and the more we will love Allah Ta'ala. So always make zikr. Always make zikr. Alhamdulillah, the other day we mentioned that when you get up in the night, in the morning, first thing, think of Allah Ta'ala. أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. Think of Allah Ta'ala when you're sitting, when you're standing, when you're lying down. One brother sent me a message. He told me, now when I heard your majlis, alhamdulillah, now in the night I get up, I think of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, there are laqa, like shukru, ihsan. And I ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. And he told me, I want to tell you something also, you don't bore us in your masjid. Because he's been listening to all the majalis. So he said, I want to tell you that also. Alhamdulillah, we're benefiting. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, I made shukr to Allah Ta'ala. At least somebody benefited. Allah Ta'ala's fazl for that. Allah Ta'ala's karam for that. So when we make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, then we will attain the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And when we make fikr, when we start pondering, then we start getting the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Zikr leads to muhabbat, and fikr leads to ma'rifat. Zikr leads to muhabbat, and fikr leads to ma'rifat. Recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Then you get two types of ma'rifat also. Two types of recognition. One recognition is that recognitions that the ulama attained. And the second one is that recognition that the Ahlullah attained. Not the same. Listen carefully, this. Ajib baat hai. The recognition of ulama is different. And the recognition of Ahlullah is different. Not the same. Hazrat says, the recognition, what's the difference? When you're saying the ulama also have ma'rifat, and the Ahlullah also have ma'rifat, but it's not the same. Okay, so in the question, wal ara is that what's the difference? Answer the question. So the answer to that is, the ma'rifat of the ulama is istilahi ta'rifi, is based on terminologies. And the ma'rifat of the Ahlullah is hali and kashfi, is based on their experience. They went through it. They tasted it. For example, what is tawazu? We read in the kitab, this definition. We got the knowledge of it. But where you will find, where you will see tawazu, go to the feet of the Ahlullah, you'll learn tawazu there. You'll see the living experience of it. So there's a difference between the ma'rifat of an alim and the ma'rifat of a person who has the sahib and nisbat. Very different. Very big difference. And what the finality will be, the ma'rifat of an alim will not lead to fanayat, whereas the ma'rifat of a ahlullah will lead to fanayat. What do you mean by that? Sometimes when you have knowledge, it's all terminology, it's all jargon, right? All definitions, this, that. There's no experience in it. Yourself, you're not going through it yourself. So you'll just get the technical knowledge of it and that's about it. You won't live the living experience of it. So your nafs will not break down. Sometimes a person who doesn't stay in the shade of the Ahlullah, when he gets too much knowledge, it goes in his brains. He thinks, I know too much. It leads to kibr also. His knowledge leads to kibr. It's like how wealth can lead to kibr, knowledge can also lead to kibr. That's why some people, you'll find them, when they come, they know nothing, then they're very obedient. But as they start progressing and you see them, now they have learned everything, they learned the Quran, they have studied everything, but they come to the end, then they don't know who you are. They don't want to make salam also. They forgot how to make salam, because it's gone too big for the boots. You see? They got their stripes now, they became captains, they can fly. So now when they're going, they don't make mashara, they don't make salam, they don't keep taluk. They do all the things that you yourself, you don't allow it. For example, Abu Marissa, we don't allow him to go on the TV. Now once he's gone from here and he flew away, then he won't keep taluk. That's the next thing you'll see is on the TV. See? So sometimes ilm itself doesn't work, because that's ta'rifi istilahi. But the Ahlullah, their ilm, that leads to fanayat. It crunches the kibr of the heart. It removes all the akhlaqi zamima, hasad, kibr, all these things, ujb, vanity. You don't get that in Ahlullah. They're not interested in all those things. They only have one thing in front of them, Rizā ilahi. Allah must become happy with me, and how can I please Allah Ta'ala and become a proper servant of Allah Ta'ala. So that is the difference between the ma'rifat of an alim and the ma'rifat of the Ahlullah. One leads to fanahiyat and the other one doesn't lead to fanahiyat. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi said, two types of people come to me. One is he has aqidat in me and one is he has muhabbat for me. Two types of people come. One aqidat. Aqidat means trust. He has a lot of trust in me, he knows that. Alhamdulillah, I can get the job done, I'll be able to teach him, and he will be able to benefit, all like that. So you get one person a lot of aqidah, because he read, oh, this person, mashallah, he's fully equipped, he has a lot of knowledge, we can benefit from him, we can derive from him, that is aqidah. And one is muhabbat, he comes because he loves me. He says, "Am topar dekha gaya, the person that came with aqidah was not successful." But the person who came with muhabbat is successful. See, the person who came with aqidat, because he just heard. and then he came away. And one is a person who genuinely loves me. Now, where the difference you'll see between a person who just came with the rabta of aqidat compared to a person who came with the rabta of muhabbat? For example, I'm sick today, I can't have majlis. So a person with aqidat will say, is there going to be majlis today? Say, no majlis, he won't come also. He came with aqidat. A person who has my muhabbat, he will say, even if there's no majlis, I'll go and sit in the sohbat of my sheikh, I'll make his ziyarat, I'll make his iyadat, I'll even spend some time, doesn't matter, he doesn't say nothing, I'll look at him, it's enough for me. So, he says, that person is successful. He will become successful, who came with muhabbat, not only aqidat. So these are the final details. Now the Ahlullah, they make mujahada. And that mujahada, they strive against the nafs. Whereas the ulama, they don't make mujahada. They're just accumulating knowledge. It's accumulation, there's no mujahada involved. Right? So that doesn't lead to crushing of the nafs. Just going madrasa doesn't lead to crushing of the nafs. You must go by the Ahlullah and make mujahada and strive against the nafs. That will lead to the crushing of the nafs. And that will lead to that real nur coming in the ilm, which when they say that you must don yourself with the libas of taqwa, where you will get the libas of taqwa, the garments of taqwa. Garments of taqwa, you can't go in the shop and say, I came to buy garments of taqwa. Or you can't go in the madrasa and say, I came to learn garments of taqwa. No, you can't learn garments of taqwa. You go in the sohbat of Ahlullah and then you oppose your nafs and you fear Allah Ta'ala and Allah will clothe you with his garment. And you get the libas, you get the loan of Allah Ta'ala, the color of Allah Ta'ala, sibghat Allah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً. And Allah Ta'ala's color is very beautiful. There's no color that's more beautiful than the color of Allah. Now what's the meaning of that? Color of Allah. When a person looks at you, he thinks of Allah. You must look like a proper Muslim. As Hazrat was mentioning, you can't say, I love Allah, but dress like Ghairullah. People who are the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, but we're confessing to say we love Allah Ta'ala, but our libas, our hulya, everything is not in conformity like how Allah Ta'ala wants. It's in conformity with what the enemies of Allah is doing. Then how can we claim to love Allah Ta'ala? You look at our pants going below the ankles. It comes in the hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that it has to be above the ankles. The area below the ankles is between the fire of Jahannam. Our beard has to be in conformity with the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, the beard, cutting of a beard is a very big sin. So that according to all the madhaib, you have to make it one mush. You can't let your beard go small, lesser than that. And you know, when a person commits a sin, then he normally commits a sin for a short duration and the sin is finished. But when the person trims his beard, he's 24 hours in the state of sin. 24 hours a day. It's not a small guna, it's a big guna. So there's no such thing as French beard and small beard. That Sharia doesn't consider that to be a beard. So it has to be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Wa'ful luha. Qassu sharib. Trim the moustache. Wa'ful luha. Lengthen the beard. Because the kuffar, what they do, the opposite. They lengthen the moustache, they trim the beard. We need to do the opposite. Remove the moustache and lengthen the beard. And then when you're removing the moustache also, there's two ways of doing it. Ibn Nawawi Rahmatullah Ali says, either you just take out the whole thing. You use a trimmer and take out the whole thing. And then, what you can do, you don't take out the whole thing, long as your lip line becomes visible. Your lip line. So you say, this is top lip, the lip line must become visible. Now why it's called sharib also, the moustache? Because when you drink, it drinks with you. That's why you have something with a little bit foam on top. Then all that foam will get stuck here on your moustache. That's why it's called sharib, it drank with you. Now you don't want that. You don't want that. So we have to conform. If we claim to love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then our beard must be right, our pants must be above ankle, our dress code must be in accordance. When a person looks at you, then he thinks of Allah Ta'ala. So that is what's important. We have to attain fanayat. And fanayat, you won't just get in the madrasa also. Fanayat, you get it in the shoes of the Ahlullah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu. O people who brought iman, aminu. Attain my ma'rifat. Now he can't be telling you, oh people who brought iman, bring iman. You already have iman. So how can he tell you to bring something that you already have? That's tahsin hasil. So he's referring to something else. So ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, oh people who believe, Amin, attain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, attain the recognition of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And you know, the great, great ulama Hazrat says, the great, great mujtahideen also, they were from the Sufiya. Allahu Akbar. And he gives examples of great, great mujtahideen. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a mujtahid of his time. You know, there's four big madhabs, isn't it? Hanafi madhab, the Shafi madhab, the Maliki madhab, the Hanbali madhab. You can follow any one of these four madhabs, so you'll be successful, inshallah. These are musallam by the ummah. All ummah has accepted it. You can't follow all four at one time, then that's Salafism. Now you're picking and choosing across the board, cherry picking. You can't do that, because every mujtahid has his own forms of usul. So the usuls are not the same. When he extracts his laws, then his laws is based on his usuls. Now if the usuls are not the same, you can't do cherry picking. One day I'm a Hanafi, next day I'm a Shafi, next day I'm a Maliki. You can't. So every madhab, once you stick to one madhab, you have to follow that one madhab. Yes, you can change your madhab, but don't keep on doing it. Just if you want to change it once, it's fine. Like Imam Tahawi rahmatullah alayhi, he was a Shafi'i. When he was born, he was Shafi'i. Then he changed into the Hanafi madhab. Imam Tahawi rahmatullah, he became a Hanafi. He wrote a big kitab. And in that kitab also, he improved the Hanafi madhab in his hadith kitab, Imam Tahawi rahmatullah. So you can change your madhab. But what you can't do is follow all the madhabs at the same time. That's not jais. And that's what the Salafis, they do. They follow everywhere. They call it cherry picking. So you can't cherry pick when it comes to madhahib. You follow one madhab, any one of them. So Imam Ahmad was a mujtahid. He wasn't a small person. He was a giant of an alim. In his time, the buzruk of his time, his name was Sheikh Sirri Saqati. Sirri Saqati was the buzruk of that time, in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to hold the reins of the horse of Sheikh Sirri Saqati. Sheikh Sirri Saqati is on top of the horse. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is below, holding the reins for him. And Sheikh Sirri Saqati was not an alim. He wasn't a mujtahid. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he's an alim. So people used to say, you such a big sheikh, and you holding the reins of the horse of Sirri Saqati. Why is it like that? He said, main to kitab ka alim hai, wo to khuda ka alim hai. I'm an alim of the books. He's the alim of Allah. He has the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. And I have the alim, I'm the alim of the books. But he has the ilm of Allah Ta'ala. He's from the Ahlullah. Who is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal? Allahu Akbar. Mujtahid mutlaq. He is going and making khidmat of the buzruk of his time, staying in his company, holding the reins of his horse. He says, "Main to kitab ka alim hu, wo to khuda ka alim hai." You see? And not only him, even our Imam Sahib also. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi also has it mentions. He also, towards the latter phase of his life, he also went, especially the last 2 years of his life, Imam Sahib's life, he went into tazkiyatul nafs. Besides the fiqh part of it, extracting of masail, Imam Sahib, in his lifetime, he extracted about 2 million masail. 2 million masail. Imam Abu Hanifa, from Quran and Hadith. How many masail? 2 million. Over 2 million masail. Imam Abu Hanifa. And you know, in the Quran Sharif, there's many stories in the Quran. There is stories of the previous nations. There is stories of Qiyamah, time before Qiyamah, what's going to happen. And from the bylaws of this Sharia, there's only 500 ayats in the Quran. How many ayats? 500 ayats in the Quran, in approximately 6,500 ayats. There's about 500 ayats in the Quran that is to do with the bylaws of this Sharia. From 500 ayats, he was able to extract 2.2 million masail. Imam Abu Hanifa. Allahu Akbar. What kind of an imam? What kind of Allah gave him that ability to extract the laws? Allahu Akbar. How many followers he has all over the world? People are following his fiqh. everywhere. You can go to Turkey, you can go to Russia, all over. They're following the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. You can go to India, you can go to Pakistan, all over, following. So that is probably the biggest madhab in the world, the Hanafi madhab. The Shafis also are not far behind, but Hanafis, I think, more followers in Hanafi madhab. A man like him, towards the latter part of his life, he also went to the tasawwuf. And the last 2 years of his life, most of it was spent in tasawwuf. And he said, لَوْلَا السَّنَتَيْنِ الْأَخِيرَيْنِ لَهَلَقْتُ. Had it not been for the latter last 2 years of my life, I surely would have been destroyed. You see? So even the greatest of the mujtahids also, they were Sufis. They were Sufis. And then, what about the muhaddisin? So Hazrat says, even the muhaddisin also, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, sahib Fathul Bari, who is the Shari of Bukhari, he wrote the commentary of Bukhari Sharif. If you look in Bukhari, what is got there in this commentary? Muhabbatullahi ala qismain. The love of Allah Ta'ala is divided into two types, farzun wa nudubun. First type, mustahab type, muhabbatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also said ala qismain, farzun wa nudubun. Now these are great muhaddis, but he's talking about kalam sufiya. They were also Sufis. So the mujtahids were also Sufis. And the muhaddisin were also Sufis. And he gives another example of Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, أَكْثَرُ الْمَعَاصِ مِنْ فُضُولِ النَّظْرِ وَمِنْ فُضُولِ الْكَلَامِ. That most of the sins that we commit is because of wrong seeing, looking, and because of useless talk. Now who we are talking about? Great, great muhaddisin of their times. They also talk in kalami sufiya. Tasawuf is integral. That's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he wasn't only sent to teach, educate. He was also sent to purify. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. From amongst his mandates, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, that he used to teach the kitab, وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purify the people also. That was amongst his mandates. Obviously give da'wah, all those things, also purify as well. He had so many different departments, and all the departments of deen are important. Now he drifted a little bit in his majlis, and he mentioned, whichever department that we are making khidmat in that time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the ability to cover all the spectrum, whether it's ta'aleem, whether it's tazkiyah, whether it's whatever, he used to cover everything. One person had the ability. Sahaba had the ability. He says, today, our Shaykh Maulana Masullah Khansa, he was qail of taqsim-e-kar. Taqsim-e-kar means different people for different khidmat. All the people can't be doing the same khidmat, because deen is broad, it has a broad spectrum. For example, tablighi work, everybody can't be doing tablighi work. Then who will run the khanqas? Who will run the darul iftas? Who will do all the other khidmat relief work? Everybody can't be doing the same thing. You have to have taqsim-e-kar. He said, ye kabhi mat kehna ke yahi kaam hai. Ye kehna ke ye bhi kaam hai. Don't say this is the only khidmat I can do. Say this is also one of the khidmat I can do. There are so many other khidmats. Ye mat kehna ke yahi kaam hai. Ye bhi kaho ke ye bhi ek kaam hai. This is one of the khidmat. Don't confine deen to one segment of deen. And don't think that 6 points covers the whole shariat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this deen has more than 79 branches of deen. 79 branches of deen. Bid'un wa sab'un shu'aban. So what he done, Hazrat Shaykh Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, because he knew if I give 79, who's going to handle 79 one time? So let me just do introductory. Let's make 6 points. And those 6 points now, slowly, inshallah, the person will get accustomed to all the other points. And Ibn Hajar Asqalani has even broken down those 79 branches according to the tahqiq of Ibn Hibban in Fathul Bari. It's all there inside. And said that all the different branches of the deen, 79 branches. In the class, we give it to the students also. What are the 79 branches? We keep on hearing the 70 plus branches, but do you know what are those branches? So we give it to the students in the class during the dars. We do. So then we got 6 points. So the whole deen is not condensed. There's only 6 points out of 79. So don't think the whole deen is confined inside there. Deen is not confined. So ye man koho ke yehi deen hai. This is only deen. Ye koho ke ye bhi deen hai. This is also a branch of deen. There's so many other branches. Whichever branch a person is, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is taking some work from us. So he gave one waqiyah. He said, see, he gave the example of Ibn Hajar Asqalani. He gave the example of Ibn Qayyim. They were all muhaddisin, but they were Sufis. He gave the example of the mujtahids. They were great, great fuqaha, but they were still Sufis. They were Sufis. Tazkiyatul nafs. You have to come there. You have to come there. And he says, gave one waqiyah. The love of Allah Ta'ala must come into the heart. And your focus must be only on Allah Ta'ala, not anybody besides Allah. So it says in the Farsi kitabs, there's one waqiyah there. Now I never studied Farsi. I have hasrat till today. See, when we went to study one extra year, actually 2 years to do Farsi. So what we done, we shortcut the thing. So when we were after the his class, we went into Urdu class because we knew no Urdu. So we learned 1 year Urdu. And then from the first year Urdu, we jumped straight in first year Alim. But the local students, they have to do first year Farsi, second year Farsi. They have to do Persian. And then after they finish that, then they only come into the first year. You see? Now they said, no, these are foreigners. What are they going to do with Persian when they go there to South Africa and all that? So that's why they said that the course will get too long. Nobody will want to come and study 9-10 years. So let's shorten it for them. And then they made it brief, and so we jumped it. But you won't believe it. I have hasrat today, till today. I have a certain afsos that I never studied the Persian language. I should have studied at least 1 year of Persian, which I didn't do. Now why I have afsos? Because when I see the ash'ar of Maulana Shafi'i Thanwi in Persian and all that, Allama Rumi's ash'ar, I can't study it directly. Because I never do Persian. Now I have to see an alim who wrote the translation and done the elaboration, but myself I can't go directly into the poetry like how I can do for Urdu. I can understand Urdu, but I can't do it for Persian. So I have that afsos till today. You see? So he says in Persian there's one waqiyah. That waqiyah, one person fell in love with one woman. So he was walking behind her. I saw her, he's walking, fell in love with her. Now she's a woman, she's walking in front, this fellow in the back. Now she saw this fellow, one fellow is walking behind me, so she started walking faster. And as she's walking faster, he also picked up his pace. So, and she ran very fast towards her house. When she reached the house, she said, what's your problem? He said, I have ishq for you. He said, why do you have ishq for me? He says, because of your beauty, I have ishq for you. So she told him, the look behind, my sister is behind. So this fellow went to turn around and look for the sister. She gave him one slap. She told him, just now you were saying that you had ish for me, but where are you looking? In the back. You see? So, yeh hamara haal hai. We claim to love Allah Ta'ala, but we're going towards ghairullah. We're not going towards Allah. That's the essence of the story. Do you understand it? Now, whether the story is true or not, that is something, a separate issue. But the ibrah that we can extract from there. If we claiming to love Allah Ta'ala, then why are we looking left and right? Why we just look straight to Allah Ta'ala? Why are we looking this side and that side? Why that fellow went to turn around to see the sister? She gave him one smack. You were saying you got ish for me, now you're looking in the back. You see? So this is what it is. Allah Ta'ala give us his muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala give us his muhabbat. And Hazrat says that this fuzul nazar, so stray eyes, straying your eyes. Besides the fact that now you may get caught up with the ghair mahram woman and what can happen, even people's things too you mustn't look at, you should say. Because that's going to create unnecessary hasad in your heart. Now look at that fellow's car. You start having hasad in your heart, jealousy will come for him. Why your eyes went on his car? Why your eyes went on his clothes? Why your eyes went on his watch? Why are you straining your eyes? Just look what Allah gave you, just make shukr on that. Why are you looking left, right and center? What Allah gave you for? You got your plate of food in front of you, make qadr of that. And then you must also know, your house is your house. The rahat you will get in your house, you won't get anywhere else. The peace in your own house, you can't get even a 5-star hotel. I've traveled all over the world. I've stayed in 5-star hotels also. But the comfort I get in my own house, in my own bed, I don't get it in a 5-star hotel also. Doesn't matter what the view is like. Yeah, I'm getting it for free, there I must pay. I don't get the rahat I get here. They have to know 10 o'clock the kitchen is closed, you must go have your breakfast before then. Yeah, I can get up 11 o'clock and go have my tea, nobody can tell me anything. I'm the Bacha of my own house. You'd rather be a Bacha in your hut than a slave in somebody else's mansion. You'd rather be a Bacha, a king of your own hut, than a slave in somebody else's mansion. Then you must follow laws and regulations. So nevertheless, as it comes to the hadith of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and told him, Man Najat. What is success? How do I get success? The Sahaba worried about success. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him three things. Right. What was the first thing he said? Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. You must control your tongue. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith, وَبِحُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Your beauty of your Islam is that you must leave out all لا يعني كلام. لا يعني كلام is that kalam that is no benefit speech in this world and in the akhir. That's called لا يعني كلام. لا يعني. No benefit of what you said. In this world also there's no benefit. In the akhirat also there's no benefit. Such talk is called لا يعني كلام. Once you leave out the لا يعني كلام, you save yourself from too much guna also, and you will keep your dignity also. So people who have dignity, they don't talk too much. They talk when necessary. And they speak what's important. They don't become chatterbox and speak one way, non-stop. And I was there. Hazrat Muhammad Sula Rahmatullah Ali mentioned two things about himself. Allahu Akbar. He said, I never committed a kabira guna in my whole life. Muhammad Sula said. I never committed one kabira guna in my whole life. I heard my own ears. And second thing he told me, blew me away. He said, I made a layani statement in my whole life. I never make a layani statement in my whole life. A statement that is of no benefit to this world or the akhirah. I never made that statement in my whole life. That means how vigilant he was over himself. What he said, what he done. How vigilant you have to be. Today, in 10 minutes, how much rubbish we will speak? So much of rubbish, there's no paper left to write, document all that rubbish that we spoke. Just chatterbox, one way, left, right, just talking rubbish whole day. Not thinking, what am I saying? Hazrat says, when you have fuzul kalam, nonsensical speech, and fuzul nazar, that opens the door for shaitan. It leads to the door opening. You just open shaitan's door for him. The bad nazar and the bad speech is what allows shaitan to open the door. You just open the door for shaitan. You gave him entrance. Now he's going to toss you. That's what's going to happen. That's why, bole to pehle socho, pehle tolo. First, before you speak, you must think and you must weigh. What am I saying? What am I saying? Is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to be harmful? First think, then speak. Now what we do, we first speak and then we think. Then there's a price to pay for that also. And he says, same thing when it comes to Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. When you're doing the Amar bil Ma'ruf, you must do it in a manner that a person you're drawing him towards. Now this is also important, I'll explain something. See, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in one hadith, Bu'istu mu'alliman. I have been sent as an educator. I have been sent as an educator. When you are educating people, your style is different. For example, one person came, he urinated in the masjid. Now if it was me and you, we would have hit him and chased him away. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him. Let him finish what he was doing. Because if we told him, chase him now, he's going, the whole masjid, that small section got napak, now the whole masjid was going to get napak, because that urine was going to drop right through. Nabi Sallallahu never hit him, never shout him. After he finished everything, he told them, take one bucket of water, throw it over, make it park. There was no carpets like how we have today. And so you throw the water over into the sand will get park, it'll dry up and get park. I called him, he said, don't do like this, yeah. This place is for namaz, this taharat, this that. I made him understand. Now he won't do it again. He educated him. See?
So we, when we make Amar bil Ma'ruf, we shout. We shout. That's not how you do it. You must do it kindly, softly, educatively. Try to explain to the person, see, that's wrong what you've done. Do it like this, right? That's called Buraistu Mu'alliman. Style is different. Nabi Salaam's style was educating people. Now these people came, they were Arabis, they were Bedouins. Nobody taught them culture. Nobody taught them tahzeeb, nothing. A person was just walking from the jungle and say, Ya Muhammad, like that. The loud voice. Nabi Salaam shouldn't shout them. Now is the time to make tarbiyat. That's his style. Slowly, slowly. Then the time came by in front of him, the Sahaba, he asked him a question. They don't even, can't even speak, can't even give him the answer. Allah wa Rasul wa Alam. We don't know the answer, you know better. Whatever you tell us, even if you know today is a Wednesday night, ask what day today. They say, we don't know, Allah, you know, Allah and Rasul knows better. They know it's Wednesday, but they won't answer. But they were the same people who were just walking in and they were shouting, Ya Muhammad. See, when tarbiyah takes place, how much change comes. So that's the first thing. So even when you're doing Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, you must watch what words you are using, your tone, your language, all those things are important. The second part of it for Najat is wal yasa'uka baytuk, must stay at home. Mahazrat said, public relations ko kam kar dena. Public relations. Having taluk with him, and taluk with him, and taluk with him, and taluk with everyone. Said, usko kam kar do. That's why Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also Allah Ta'ala told him, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Once you finish educating, teaching, all that, then when you are farigh, then farigh, you make your own ibadat. Make your own ibadat. Stand up, farghab. Make raghbat towards Allah Ta'ala. You see? So therefore, at the end of the day, don't enhance your so much that you have no time left for your own personal ibadat also. You have to have some time also for your personal ibadat. And you know, and this is also, we ulama who are teaching in a madrasa, we don't make tilawat on a daily basis and we use that as an excuse. Because I'm too busy teaching kitab, I don't have time for tilawat. That's just an excuse. When you finish your teaching, you have to allow some time for tilawat also. You have to allow some time for zikr of Allah Ta'ala also. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you finish making khidmat of Allah's makhluk, what about yourself? You have to have some time for your own self also. You see? Allahu Akbar. Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi mentions that we are diamonds. But bahut zyada milne julne se tum patthar ho jaoge. See, you're a diamond, but if you meet people too much, you will change from a diamond, you will become a stone. People will not cherish you because you are meeting people too much. They won't make qadr of you after that. Limit how much you're going to spend time with the makhluk. So limit it. Otherwise, they won't make qadr of you also. Achi sohbat ka asar hota hai. Isi tarike se buri sohbat ka asar hota hai. Good sohbat has a good impact. Bad sohbat has a bad impact. And the third thing, I said, but however, see, this is also important. He said, "Tum khush sufi mat banna, khush sufi." That you don't allow anybody to come to you. Then how will the people benefit from you? If you don't allow anybody to interact with you, then how will people benefit from you? Yes, you have a limited amount of time you're going to give, but you block everybody away from you. You're a khush sufi, khush sufi. So he will never even smile not one day. A khush sufi. You don't even see happiness on his face one day. It's like goya ke kisi ne somebody took some lemon and squeezed it on his face. Kabhi muskurahat bhi nahi hoti hai. No matter what joke you tell him also, he won't even smile at the joke. Say, khush sufi ban gaya hai. So Hazrat used to say, khush sufi mat banna. Don't become a khush dry sufi. Dry sufi, they're so overwhelmed, they can't even look what's going on. Somebody speaks to them too. They will not smile, they won't interact with Allah. Why you must have? Let me tell you something. You know, Ahlullah, they have muhabbat for Allah's makhluk. They have a lot of shafqat in their hearts for Allah's makhluk. For Allah's makhluk, they will do anything for Allah Ta'ala. Allah's makhluk, this is, so I will do anything for Allah Ta'ala. But they have a soft-heartedness for the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. They're kind towards the makhluk of Allah. I won't come across any person that was not kind, any buzuk that was not kind towards the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, I haven't come across till today. Every buzuk that I've spent time with, each and every one of them was kind and compassionate and caring towards the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. That's what I have found. That's my personal experience. That's why don't become khusufi. Khusufi, dry sufi. The dry lemon that you ate. And now you're not even smiling one day. The Hadith Sharif says that when you meet some Muslim brother, at least smile at him. Make his heart happy. Biwajin taliq. You must meet him with a smiling face. And just tell these Sufis by, you'll never see one smile coming out of their faces on one day. That's wrong then. You must learn to smile also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it comes in a hadith, Julla dhihkihi at-tabassu. Most of the time he was smiling. Most of the time Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling. Most of the time. The outwardly he would tell the people, say that, show the people I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. So the people, they don't lose hope. That's why I show them happy. But in his, when he was alone, then his chest was bubbling with tears inside. Azizun, azizil mirjan. Mirjan is like a big pot. And when you put water inside, then you get that bubbling sound. That was the sound that was coming out of anguish from his heart and from his chest. That is personal capacity. When he's alone between him and Allah. But when he was with the people, he was always smiling. He was always smiling. So the people don't run away. They feel they can come. They can. He's approachable. So if you're approachable, people will benefit from you. But when you're cutting off your taluk with everybody, how will people benefit from you? If you're a sheikh tomorrow and you are cutting yourself off from everybody else, who's going to come to you and again benefit from you? Nobody's going to come. So what kind of Sufi that is? Dry Sufi. So Allah Ta'ala, that's why sohbat of the Ahlullah is important. Very, very important. These finer details, you think I'm getting it right. In the meantime, you are getting it absolutely horrendously wrong. And then you should say, وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. And cry upon, sahibat, take out tears for the sins that you have committed. The tears, تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبْ. It will extinguish the anger of Allah Ta'ala and the wrath of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's why it also comes in the hadith, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَعُوا. If your tears are not coming out, then make a face like the tears is coming out. Allah Ta'ala loves that. And then he concludes by saying, Allah Ta'ala fana wali ma'rifat ham sabko naseeb farmade. Allah Ta'ala give us such a ma'rifat that will lead to the fana'iyat. And one of the things, now I was telling you that story, that Persian story, you know, that's Persian one. So it is one poem that goes with it. So I forgot that poem to tell you. I will tell you that poem. Isay dekha usay dekha. Isay dekha usay dekha. Idar dekha udar dekha. You saw here, you saw there. You saw this way, you saw that way. Na dekha yaar ko, na dekha yaar ko, aghyaar mein dekha to kya dekha? You saw everybody, but you never saw your beloved, and what did you actually see? You saw nothing. You saw this side, you saw that side. You saw here, you saw there. Lekin yaar ko nahi dekha, dekha sab aghyaar ko to kya dekha? You saw everybody, ghair ko, aghyaar means ghair, besides Allah. You saw everybody besides your beloved, but you never saw your beloved. So what did you see? You saw nothing. You see? So don't get trapped in this dunya. Saw this, you saw that, you saw this, you saw that. All that muhabbat went in the heart. But the actual muhabbat of the main person, Allah Ta'ala, that's not inside the heart. Then what did you get? You got nothing. Isay dekha, usay dekha. Idar dekha, udar dekha. Sahibat. Na dekha yaar ko. Na dekha yaar ko. Aghyaar ko dekha, to kya dekha? You only saw, you never saw your yaar. Your yaar means your beloved. But you saw aghyaar. Aghyaar ko dekha, to kya dekha? You saw nothing. Samajh mein aaye? But Allah Ta'ala grant us His muhabbat. Allah Ta'ala grant us His ma'rifat. Allah Ta'ala grant us His fana'iyat. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on Quran and Sunnah till our last breath. Allah give us tawfiq of uplifting His ahkamat and benefiting from all His majalis of all His sufiyai kiram. Sanad, make us from the ahl tasawwuf. Allah Ta'ala bring us on tazkiyah. Give us the fikr of making, rectifying our a'mal in accordance with Quran and Sunnah and what is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. We still have a chance. Allah is still giving us life. We still got a chance to fix ourselves. Each one of us, myself included, said there are 5 million of faults we have in ourselves. We're trying. So I make dua also, falling down, getting up, but we're trying. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, mm-hmm. to get it right. Inshallah, one day, inshallah, we will get it right through His fadl and karam. Allah Ta'ala accept His majalis and His mashayikh who we have made istifada from them. Allah Ta'ala bless them, give them all the jaza. And even if one person makes amal also, alhamdulillah, I will say that the majlis was not in vain. Alhamdulillah, so many people have been sending us messages. Alhamdulillah, we are starting to make amal on the majalis. Allah Ta'ala's fazl, that's the ikhlas of our buzruks. this whatever was said, I'm the mukhatabi awwal, said was addressed to myself first, and then everybody else. But whatever was mentioned here was addressed to my personal self. Allah give me tawfiq to make amal, and all of us tawfiq to make amal, and Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. We all need of hidayat. Give us tawfiq of killing our nafsi ammara, strengthening our nafsi lawama, granting us nafsi mutmainna, and Allah take us from this world when He's pleasing and happy with us. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.